thanks for choosing GoldSeek.com Radio as a trusted business and investing information source. Well, it's a pleasure to welcome Marin Alexoff, CEO and founder of Rosalind Capital, a seller of gold and precious metals, here today. This is his debut appearance on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Why don't you give us an idea of what drew you to the sector and keeps you interested in gold and silver?
Well, on a personal level, right out of school, basically, in the late 90s, I had a choice to go either I go into equities or I go into precious metals. I chose to go into metals. I thought that was better for me because I was more into long-term deals than short-term when it comes to investments. But also, I was a coin bug as a kid. I always collected coins, international coins, Roman coins, Morgan dollars, and so forth. So I was always interested in it to begin with. And I liked the idea that you actually get something physically. That's how I got started. I started with a company and never looked back. I've never been in anything else but that. That's all I know. 17 years, all I've ever done is gold, silver, and platinum, and palladium.
You are a native of Sweden. This is a country that was plagued by debt issues in the 90s. They managed the debt in a very unique way. They essentially tied it all up in one or two banks and, treated it as though it were a metastasized malignant tumor. It allowed the system to repair and to heal, and now they are not suffering the same way many of the peripheral nations in the Eurozone are suffering today. Can you give us your perspective as a native of that country and just how perhaps the EU ministers and maybe other countries could benefit from those insights?
First of all, I'm not an economist, so I wouldn't go into the details much, but one thing I can say by growing up there is that it becomes state-run, basically. And what that means is that the government takes over, and you have to be, they're very, very disciplined. That's how they manage this. It's not about, they have restrictions on everything, rates, interest rates, loans, anything. I mean, I'll give you an example. If you have a home loan in Sweden, you don't pay more than 2% regardless of what's going on. So they have capital controls in a way, and that's how they've always done it. So it is a socialistic system, but it's very, very state-controlled, even the banks are. And that's how they manage. It's that they can do a decision in a matter of minutes, just like China. There's no Congress, there's no this, there's no voting. They just do it. I think that's the biggest part of it.
Obviously, when we lost our Glass-Steagall Act and some of the other fail-safes that had been put in place during the 30s, that opened up Pandora's box, and out came this investment banking nightmare that got out of control, and then add in leverage, and you just have the perfect world for disaster. That these leaders that we had in place, they weren't constrained, more concerned about bonuses, and that mechanism led to total disconnect from safety on one side of the balance to reckless leverage on the other. Let's move back to precious metals, though. I mean, this is obviously a topic du jour for our listener base. We've had three grueling years. After a 12-year bull run, there has to be that pause which refreshes. Are we at that point, or do you think we may have further downside ahead?
The way I look at it now is the dollar is so strong. I mean, it is clobbering gold at this level. And with the euro, I think it hit parity today, if I'm not wrong. You have two currencies, euro and dollar, going different directions. But, at the same time, I think it's a good spot for gold. I mean, how far can the dollar really go? How low can, I think the downside of gold, we might hit 1,100, test it. But I think the upside is much better due to the fact that the dollar at some point is going to start to drop or it's going to start hurting the U.S. economy. I don't think it's in anyone's interest for the dollar to just keep going and going and going. So I think that gold is in a sweet spot here because of that. I think that the downside's limited and the upside's bigger. We could easily see this go above 1,300 if the dollars just start falling again. I mean, they're talking about tightening. They're talking about raising interest rates. But it's going to be minimal moves. I don't see them doing anything big. When I started, it was 200 and some dollars. Gold's always been that way, and we do not do it for profit here. We do it for long-term safety and security. It's not about making $1 million. It's about having some protection when you need it.
There really isn't anything that has those safety aspects. But you can argue that bonds have a tendency to offset some of the risk in equities. You can argue that commodities as a sector tend to balance out a good portfolio. But in the final analysis, nothing really provides that life jacket the way that the precious metals do. Do you follow the precious metals equities or just purely bullion?
We follow bullion. That's what we do. We're very focused on what the demand is globally. We do travel out to figure out where the next demand is going to come from. And right now, we're focused on China a lot. I just came back from Hong Kong a few months ago. And just so maybe if the listeners doesn't know, like U.S. is about 5% of the physical global market. Hong Kong is 25%. The Chinese, you know, they're growing leaps and bounds when it comes to this. And one thing they do not do, trust their own currency. So gold is pandemonium over there. I saw lines around blocks to buy gold. So anything happens, they will go there. And I think China over the next 10, 20 years is going to be a huge buyer of gold one way or another. I think demand from Asia is the key for the price of gold due to the fact that their wealth is just going to grow and grow. The middle class is going to grow, and seeing it firsthand, I just don't see it stopping.
My question to you, though, is where did you see these lines? Were you in Hong Kong by chance or Shanghai?
I was in Hong Kong. It was about, they told us the World Council for Gold, and they had some staggering numbers. I think 35 million Chinese come into Hong Kong every year on visas, and most of them try to buy gold. The numbers are staggering, and they're only letting a few. This is like only 10 or 20% of China's provinces they're allowing to travel. And they're opening up every year more and more and more. Now, as you point out, Shanghai is starting to do that as well. I think they're slowly starting to open the market there as well. So this is just going to increase. It's in their culture as well, especially when it comes to, you know, weddings and so forth, just like India. But again, I think gold is a form of protecting yourself from yourself. You have it in gold, you have tendency not to spend it. And I think that's what it comes down to. Because if you have it in your hands in gold, and if you have it in cash, you'll start spending the cash, but you're not going to spend the gold. And that's what I get from people there.
Here we talk almost exclusively about the profligacy of central bankers and the troubles systemically as a result of this widespread money spending. And then we also have the specter sort of looming in the background regarding the bail-ins and rehypothecation. So you're assaulted from every corner, aren't you? You're assaulted, A, from the bankers, and then B, in your accounts. You never know what might be going on behind the scenes there unless you've read the fine print and you don't have a margin account. And then there's also the threat of legislation being written in. But I'd like to stick, though, with Asia for a moment, because I think this, as you pointed out, is really the focal point. And we had Dr. Mark Faber, a resident of Asia, on the show last week, discussed many issues. One of the points that we were discussing was, do you think that the People's Bank of China has been accumulating more gold than the official numbers reflect? And he seemed to concur with consensus, the growing consensus, that they are hoarding gold en masse ahead of at least regional, if not reserve currency announcement. Any thoughts there?
Absolutely. I mean, they mine a lot, number one, and it doesn't leave. That we know. So it's not like it goes anywhere. So, and they're worldwide. They're snapping up anything from rare earths, metals, gold, silver, anything they can get their hands up. But the biggest thing, most people, or most mints, or most, you know, they sell gold worldwide. They don't. Anything that comes out, it stays in China, and all they do is import more. They had one store, I think, in Shanghai that opened up, and they had these good bars, 400-ounce bars. In one day, there was a line. They sold 27 good bars in the first day. I mean, that gives you an idea. This is cash. They don't, they come in bags in cash. It's completely, because over there, you don't have the, like you say here, the mortgages, all this. It doesn't exist. Everything is just cash.
Dr. Faber also addressed, you know, that for the most part, the majority of people in Asia live in the peripheral regions. And as you say, it's all cash. And remember, China is the home of the first paper currency. They have a tradition of understanding just what happens to all paper money eventually. It runs at least 1,000 years in their culture. Two forces, I think, at play. On the one hand, you have the tradition written into the culture involving, marriages and ceremonies and holidays and New Year's and whatnot. Of course, there's a traditional gold giving there. But then you also have this quiet understanding, this unspoken acknowledgement that precious metals are the one thing that will save you. As we wrap up here today, tell folks anything that you're watching that you might think is of interest.
Well, I will definitely watch the dollar. I will definitely also see what's going to happen with the rate. Also watch more outside the U.S. than inside the U.S. because there's a lot going on. And with the Europe now printing money, then Greece, I just don't see that working out one way or another. Again, I've spent time there as well. And when you have a country that refuses to pay taxes and they won't, all the pensions paid, something's going to give. And I think that the ripple effect is going to be bigger than people think. I think a lot of people have their toes in that water, a lot of banks, especially U.S. banks as well. People are downplaying it. I think that if the Greece should come out of the euro, I think Italy will look at it. I think Spain is going to look at it. And you're going to have a domino effect after that. Been a lot in Spain. I spend time there every year. I go to, one thing with the euro is it works great for Germany. Don't get me wrong, but it's just another form of German ruling the financial sector. And what happens in Spain, I used to spend time prior to the EU. People had jobs. They were happier. It was cheaper for tourists. Now it's expensive. An apartment in suburb of Spain is almost as much as in Germany. There's just no way to get ahead, and people are tired of it. So one thing I think is if Greece gets out, if Greece comes out of this or gets out of the EU, they'll suffer for a couple of years of hyperinflation and all that. But after that, I think that Spain is going to look at this and say, you know what, we want our own currency. We want to go back to what we were doing and so on. Again, I think that that's something to watch for. The mentality in the southern Europe is completely different from the north. And all the jobs that they thought they're going to get by, going north, is just not there. People coming from other countries taking jobs, and then the people in that country gets upset. So something's going to give. This is not harmonious at all.
If we do see a domino effect, then of course we could see prolonged U.S. dollar strength, which might postpone that inevitable implosion that so many folks in this sector have been calling for. Maybe this will give us greater opportunity to accumulate the precious metals at discounted prices for a while.
It's cheap. I would, at this point, our clients buy at every dip. Because at some point, no matter what happens, if equity starts suffering, a portion of that money will go to safety. And regardless of the dollar strength at that point, gold will get a portion of it. Again, with the dollar being so high and gold being low, the deal, buy low, sell high.
Exactly. And, there's another aspect here that we haven't touched on today, the frothiness of the equities sector. I mean, sure, they could run for another year or two, maybe a changing of the guard politically here in the United States.
Yeah, absolutely. Because right now, if you look at it, there's nowhere else to go, really, to get any returns. But once the rates go up, you're going to see people go back to traditional things, like CDs, bonds, all that. And that's going to start, people are going to start getting out of equities to go back to more safety, interest-bearing accounts, and so forth. That will inevitably take the equities down, I believe, but you never know.
Please tell us more about Roslyn Capital, the services you provide, and any contact information you'd like to share.
What we do here is we do physical gold, and we ship, actually deliver it to you. We also do IRAs, where you can transfer or roll over IRAs into gold or silver, precious metals-backed IRAs, basically, where then your IRA is actually backed by physical gold. So that's or physical silver. That's a very good way to go as well. Call us. We send free information out. You can look it over. Any questions regarding how to do it, how to store it, how to sell it, we have it all. You can get our website, which is probably the best way to go right now, is at roslyncapital.com. And also, we do advertise nationwide, mostly on Fox News as well. I don't know if you've seen our commercial with Devane, but we do run that every hour. So if you have time to look at that, you can also call our 800 number, and let me give that to you guys. So that's 1-800 800-891-2341. 800-891-2341.
891-2341. All right. Well, CEO Alexov, we're going to look forward to having you back on GoldSeek.com Radio.
Thank you very much for having me. My pleasure.